إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the creator, sustainer, and regulator of the universe and all within. And that, of course, includes all of us. Thus, we praise Him and we ought to praise Him and thank Him for His infinite grace, blessings, and mercy. And we believe in Him and put our trust in Him. We should also seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and one who invited to the way of Allah and a role model. Respected brothers and sisters, a month ago I spoke about the importance and the value of family in our lives as Muslims. And I mentioned then that for ages we have blamed others in our relationships, but it hasn't solved our problems. So we need to do something differently in order to relieve the pressure and the trials and the hardships and the problems that families are facing these days. And I propose that one way to do things differently is for each individual in every relationship, police him or herself. Look at his or her behavior and contributions to that relationship. And ask himself or herself, what do I bring to this relationship? What is my contribution to this relationship? What is my perspective or understanding of what this relationship should be like? But the problem with that, brothers and sisters, is that when we're left to police ourselves, we make up our own rules. So we make the wrong right and the right wrong. So today, I would like to share with you some of the guidelines established by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to ensure that whatever the relationship is, whether it's between spouses or parents and children, or children and parents, siblings, your co-workers, whatever it might be, that the individual is always conscious and aware of his or her role and contribution in the relationship. You see, brothers and sisters, often, we're just concerned about what the other person is doing for the relationship. While the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that we should be more concerned about what we are bringing to the relationship, what we are doing for this relationship. This is how we police ourselves. Now today I also propose, because there are many different kinds of relationships. There is the matter of children and how they relate with their parents. Then there is the relationship of how parents relate with their children. Then we have the spouses, we have siblings, and so on. So today I propose to, inshallah, focus more on the spouses, because that's where the family begins. You know, later on the spouses will have kids, inshallah. Then the relationship expands or it diverges. But some of these guidelines are applicable to all relationships, brothers and sisters. Now the first guideline we must consider, especially for spouses, is that your marriage is ibadah. It's an act of worship. So we need to start treating it like the act of worship it is. You know, brothers and sisters, when we pray, we're conscious of the time for our salah. Although there is a time limit. And when we start our prayers, we limit ourselves to what is prescribed during the prayers. We just don't say anything we feel like, or do any action we feel like. We're obligated, actually, to limit ourselves to what is prescribed, or else the salah is invalid. It doesn't matter how much we think we have prayed, if we do not follow the rules, it is invalid. Now, if we were to transport this same sort of perspective to marriage, and the husband and the wife begin to view their relationship, their marriage, as an act of worship, you begin to see what can happen potentially. We are careful, very careful. We take care of our ibadat, I hope. Do we do the same for our marriages? Do we take care of our relationships, our spouses? Do we limit ourselves to what is prescribed in terms of what we say? Or we think we have, mashallah, complete freedom to say whatever we feel like? So we need, brothers and sisters, to understand that our marriages are ibadat. We are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we start off the relationship with ijra aqd al-zawaj, or katb al-kitab. We perform the nikah ceremony, so that the two people get married in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin the relationship in the name and with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to continue to be conscious and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that relationship. Didn't the Prophet alayhi salam tell us that marriage is half of your deen? So fear Allah in the other half. Half, brothers and sisters, not 10% or 20%, half. So if marriage is half, and you fail that, you have to be perfect on the other half, or else you fail. So it's no trivial, frivolous matter, brothers and sisters. It's an act of worship. To the point where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, when some of the Sahaba decided they will never get married, and they thought this was one way of dedicating themselves full time to the worship of Allah. And he told him, he said, and I have gotten married. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever desires other than my way, my sunnah, he's not from me. We're not from the nation, the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salam, if we desire other than that. So the first guideline is we must recognize that our marriages are acts of worship. And just like every other ibadah, there are rules, there are prescriptions, there are things that we are allowed to say and do and things that we're not supposed to say and do. And we will hear more about that inshallah. The second guideline, brothers and sisters, in this one is applicable to all relationships. In marriages, the spouses are partners, they're equals. And unless we begin to change this mindset we have, we will never have peace in our world. Women will always come forward with stories of all kinds of abuse. And the men will face all kinds of accusations of abuse. The secret is to change the mindset that we have. If you view somebody as lesser than you, then yes, you will always think it's okay to ill-treat them. You will always think it's okay to abuse them. But when you see someone truly as an equal, it's a whole different scenario. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hammered home this message of equality of men and women. In the first ayah, in many ayats of course in the Quran, but this one is from Surah An-Nisa, the very first ayah. We hear it all the time when we attend marriages, weddings. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, ittaqu rabbakum. Be mindful and be conscious of your Lord, الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة, who created all of you from one soul, one individual. And we believe that this is Adam alayhi salam. In fact, we know it is Adam alayhi salam. وخلق منها زوجها, and he created from it its companion or a companion for it. I ask you, brothers and sisters, to think a little bit about what does Allah mean when He said, and He created from this first soul, a companion for it. We know that it means He created Eve from Adam alayhi salam. He basically took a part of the body of Adam and created Eve. He did not take another set of clay and create Eve. Because then, we would argue always back and forth as to whose clay is the better clay. Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise, in His infinite knowledge and wisdom, took away that excuse for people to fight among themselves as to who is better, who is superior, by creating all of us, men and women, and despite our colors and whatever else, from exactly the same origin. And this of course speaks to the infinite power and wisdom and knowledge of the Creator. So we don't have any reason to argue who's better, because we all come from exactly the same beginning. This is the secret in creating Eve from Adam. So if a male were to insult or abuse a female, what he's doing in effect is abusing part of himself. He's abusing himself. When you hit somebody, do you tell your hand, you know, you're stupid or something like that? Why did you hit the person? People will think you're insane. That's why he created Eve from part of a body part of Adam. And the message in the ayah is that look, you're all equal. And you need to see each other as equals and deal with one another as equals in order to fulfill your objective of existence, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam referred to women as shaqa'iq al-rijal. The word shaqiq, brothers and sisters, in the Arabic language means two siblings who share the same mother and father. You have the same parents, mother and father. Because some people have same mothers, different fathers. Or the same father and different mothers. But the shaqiq is two or more people who share the same parents. They have the same mother and father. And he referred to women as shaqa'iq al-rijal. Some translations translated as twin halves of men. But to understand what shaqiq means here is to give us deeper understanding of the relationship that the Prophet ﷺ was alluding to when he referred to women as shaqa'iq al-rijal. So the second guideline is for us to begin to change the mindset we have. Not just pay lip service, this will not work. Lip service will not work, brothers and sisters. And we will only be fooling or deluding ourselves if we think it can work. It won't work. Because it is our mindset that guides our actions. And we may be able to pretend for a while, but eventually our true colors will show up. So we need to begin to see and treat others. This is the guideline that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Do we, in our relationships, see our partners, see our spouses in particular, as equals? Or do we sometimes feel we're better than them? The third guideline, brothers and sisters, is one we talk about a lot. But nobody seems to understand how to implement it. And that is respect. And connected to respect, or an offshoot of respect, is gentleness, kindness, softness. Do we bring respect of our partners in our relationship? And since we're talking about marriage or husband and wife relationship today, do we respect our spouses? Because often we hear them complain about that. He doesn't respect me. She doesn't respect me. And the other person says, well, what do you mean I don't respect me? I don't respect you. Give me an example. Or give me some examples. Well, the first thing about respect, brothers and sisters, is how you talk to somebody. What kind of words you use when you address that person. The tone of voice that you use when you talk to the person. So you can use a low, calm tone of voice and still insult the person. So what kind of language do we use in our relationships, brothers and sisters? It is so easy these days for people to insult and abuse and curse. But very difficult for people to exhibit kindness and gentleness and softness, especially when you feel insulted or disrespected. Brothers and sisters, here are some ahadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu once was talking about the Prophet alayhi salam, and here is what he said about the Prophet alayhi salam: لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفحشا. وقال يعني النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إن من خيركم أحسنكم خلقا. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma once talking about the Prophet alayhi salam said, لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفحشا. He was not one, the Prophet was not a person who was a fahish. And the word fahish literally means the person who exceeds limits in what is acceptable in terms of speech. In terms of speech, although many scholars say that linguistically, the word fuhsh is overstepping your limits, period. Whether it's in speech or deed or even in description, in quality. But in the context of this hadith, the scholars say that fuhush here means to exceed limits in your speech, in what is acceptable. وَلَا مُتَفَحِّشًا. Nor was he one who would deliberately and intentionally set out to overstep limits in speech. See, when we feel insulted, brothers and sisters, we lash out. We only feel good when we insult and abuse and put down and belittle the other person. So we set out deliberately to say all these bad things. And then at the end of the day, Allahu Akbar, we think that we can get intimate with the person. The Prophet alayhi salam in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, another one, he said, أَيَضْرِبُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِمْرَأَتَهُ ضَرْبَ الْفَحْلِ ثُمَّ يُجَامِعُهَا مِنْ آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ. Would one of you beat his wife or hit his wife as he beats an animal, and then expects to be intimate with her at the end of the day? You think this is going to happen? It cannot happen. And it all started with a person not taking responsibility for his or her own actions. See, when we blame others and we point fingers of others, this is what will happen. Matters will always escalate. But if we pay more attention to our own role and our own attitude and behavior, then we will bring solutions to the challenges that we face in our relationships. In another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Anas radiallahu anhu describes the Prophet alayhi salam, he said, لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا. The Prophet of Allah was never one who was fahish, crossing the line in the things he says to people. He was always careful and conscious of what he's saying. That's what he taught us, brothers and sisters. That's what he brought to all his relationships, including especially with his wives. ولا لعانا. Nor was he one to curse people. How easy it is for us to curse people these days. وَلَا سَبَّابًا. Nor did he ever insult people. كَانَ يَقُولُ عِنْدَ الْعَتَبَ. The Prophet ﷺ, when he used to admonish people, you know what he used to say? He never said, you moron, you this, you that. Calling people, you know, some of the worst words you can think of in English and other languages. Anas radiallahu anhu said, كَانَ يَقُولُ عِنْدَ الْعَتَبَ. He used to say when he would reprimand someone, مَا لَهُ تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ. What's wrong with him? May his face shine. May his face shine, brothers and sisters. If I translate literally though, it means, may dust be rubbed on his face. But this is an expression that the Arabs use without intending the literal meaning. And there are many examples of this in the hadith. And once, when some people insulted the Prophet alayhi salam, Aisha radiallahu anha got upset and she insulted them back. She said to them, wa alaykum, they invoked death upon the Prophet alayhi salam. She said, alaykum, and upon you, wa la'anakumullahu wa ghadiba alaykum. And may Allah curse you and be angry with you. And the Prophet alayhi salam did not say, yes, Aisha, you tell them. You tell them. Give it to them. No. He said, mahlan ya Aisha. Alayki birrifq. Wa iyaki wal unfa wal fuhsh. He said, take it easy, O Aisha. And the word mahlan here is actually a mild reproof. A mild form of restraining a person. So he said, O Aisha, mahlan, step back. Don't say that. Alayki birrifq. You must always be gentle and soft and kind to people. Even when they have insulted you or someone else. They insulted the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't insult them. He simply said, wa alaykum, and upon you the same. But she added to that, she says, wa la'anakumullahu wa ghadiba alaykum. May Allah curse you and be angry with you. And he told her, no, mahlan, don't say that. Always be gentle and soft. Wa iyyaki wal unfa wal fuhush. And beware, I warn you about being tough and harsh and crossing the limits in what you say. This is what fuhish is. And fahish is the person who crosses the line in what they say. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, what do we bring to our relationships in light of these guidelines? Are we respectful of our spouses? Even when we disagree with them, when we argue with them, or we're angry with them. The Prophet alayhi salam, there are many or some cases where he would get upset with his own wives, not speak for them for a whole day. Once for a whole month, he did i'tikaf in the masjid. But not once, brothers and sisters, not once, let alone two or three times, not once did he ever say anything that was fuhsh, that was inappropriate or unbecoming in terms of what we're allowed to say to each other, especially to the people with whom we have relationships. So what do we bring to our relationships? Do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of worship in our relationships? Do we view our spouses and others as equals, human beings just like ourselves, with faults and with good as well? And do we truly respect others, especially in the way we talk to them and speak to them, especially when we feel angry and we feel insulted? What do we bring to our relationships? I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless all of us. There is a lot more to say, but you know, in the khutbah we only have so much time, so perhaps if Allah wills, in the future we will talk more about this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May He open our hearts and minds so that not only can we understand the message, but more importantly, we would be motivated and inspired to live the message and to uphold the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our relationship with our spouses, our parents, our children. May He protect us in these relationships and protect them. May He guide us to do what is pleasing to Him in these relationships. May He cause us, brothers and sisters, all of us, to always think about what we say and what we do in our relationships. May He guide us to ask ourselves one question. What I want to say, what I feel like saying right now, or what I feel like doing right now, is this pleasing to Him, Allah the Creator? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم وعافينا. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Brothers and sisters, I also would like to remind myself and all of you of the plight of our brothers and sisters in Syria. If you've been following the news, you know that recently there has been serious bombardments of some of the suburbs of Damascus, and hundreds of people, many of them children, are being killed. So continue to make dua for them. Continue to support them with donations, whatever you can. But at the very, very least, brothers and sisters, dua is our weapon. Dua is our aid that Allah has given to us. And we should not underestimate the value and the power of dua. So let us continue, let us remember them, especially by making dua for them when we pray. Let us not forget them, and let us do whatever little that is within our capacity to do to help them and to ease the hardships that they are faced with. And not just Syria, I mean, there is still Burma that's happening. There is Palestine, and there are many other places. So please, let us remember our brothers and sisters in our prayers and in our dua. Especially perhaps when we have those moments in our lives when we're celebrating, and we're enjoying, maybe we need to take a step back and remember that there are many of us, millions, who don't even have the safety, let alone the ability to enjoy. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين الأئمة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وأن بقية أصحاب نبيك أجمعين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين في كل مكان Oh Allah, we ask you to come to the aid and the assistance of our brothers and sisters who are weak and who are oppressed in every part of the world. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين في كل مكان اللهم أفرق عليهم صبرا We ask you, O Lord, to inspire them all with patience and steadfastness. وثبت أقدامهم and keep their feet firm. وانصرهم على القوم الظالمين and grant them victory over those who are oppressors, those who are transgressors. اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم مخرجا We ask you, O Lord, to provide for them an exit out of their hardships and their trials. اللهم انصرهم بنصرك وأيدهم بتأييدك وأمدهم بمددك اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم المبارك ذنبا إلا غفرته And we ask you, O Lord, to leave none of us on this blessed day with any sin except that you forgive that sin. وَلَا مَرِيضًا إِلَّا وَلَا مَيِّتًا إِلَّا رَحِمْتَهُ And leave no one who has passed away except that you shower your mercy and forgiveness on them. وَلَا مَرِيضًا إِلَّا شَفَيْتَهُ Leave none of us who is ill, O Lord, except that you send down your healing and your cure upon them. وَلَا مُبْتَلًا إِلَّا عَافَيْتَهُ Leave no one who is ill and who is suffering except that you alleviate their suffering and their hardships. وَلَا وَلَدًا إِلَّا أَصْلَحْتَهُ Leave no young person, O Lord, except that you reform for them and you guide them, you reform their hearts and you guide them to Iman. وَلَا مُسَافِرًا إِلَّا رَدَبْتَهُ Leave no one who is traveling except that you return him or her to their family safe and sound. وَلَا مَظْلُومًا إِلَّا نَصَرْتَهُ Leave no one who is oppressed except that you come to their aid. وَلَا عَسِيرًا إِلَّا يَسَّرْتَهُ And leave no one who is afflicted except that you alleviate their affliction. وَلَا حَاجَةً مِنْ حَوَائِجِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا وَلَنَا فِيهَا صَلَاحٍ إِلَّا يَسَّرْتَهَا وَقَضَيْتَهَا يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَقُومُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِكُمْ